I'm going to pause it right now. Okay, I think it's still recording, but so how long were you in the service before you received notice that you were going to go to Vietnam?
I'd gotten out of boot camp and didn't have orders at that time to go anywhere, so I reported back to San Diego and picked up orders to go on the USS Frankie Evans, and I flew to Los Angeles and then caught a plane to Hawaii and was there for 2 days and picked up the ship there when it came in to port, and then I found out I was going to Vietnam.
So after you were already on board ship?
On board, yes.
Okay. And so what did you think when you found out that you were going to Vietnam?
Well, I wasn't too anxious to go, shall we say. And I thought of the recruiter that had recruited me from the Army saying, you know you'll go to Vietnam if you go in the Army, but if you go in the Navy, you won't have to worry about it.
And so what did your family think when they found out that you were going to go to Vietnam, at least in the Navy?
In the Navy, I know my mother worried a lot, but I don't know whether my dad was. I'm sure he worried some too, but I don't think he was that concerned.
Now, did you get married before you went into the service or after?
After.
After, okay. And so what were your daily duties aboard Evans?
On board ship. When we would be out at sea, we would work 4 on and 8 off, and you'd have 2 different watches that way. And like if you had the 4 to 8 in the morning, you'd get up at 3:30 and you'd go down and you'd put in your 4 hours on watch, and then you'd get off, and then on board ship we would work mornings in the engine room, so you'd stay back in the engine room for another 4 hours, and then we could usually take the afternoon off and go up compartment and set and things, and then at 4 o'clock that afternoon you'd go back on watch until 8 and get off.
And your duties aboard ship, what did you normally do?
My machinist mate and I worked in the aft engine room, and I did messenger watch at first, and that was going around taking readings off the gauges and checking pressures and stuff, and then you'd wake the next watch up and that type of stuff. And later on I got qualified to stand evaporator watch, and that's where you change the sea water into fresh water. You use it both for boiler feed water for your boilers and then for drinking water for the crew.
So how did you change the sea water into fresh water?
Okay, you have a set of evaporators which you heat with steam, and you actually boil the water inside the evaporator, which has got a vacuum on it, and it causes it to turn into condensate, and you collect the condensate and turn it back into water, and then it's fresh water.
Okay. And what was your ship's mission? What was the Evans mission at the time that you were on there? Were you part of combat or combat support?
We were combat support. We operated off the gun line, and we had Marine spotters that would fly the small planes in the air finding targets for us, and then we had some that were on the ground that would call targets in.
Okay. And what was your impression of the Evans once you were on board?
It was a good ship. The crew was tight together. Everyone got along reasonably well. When you take that many people and put them in a very small area and confine them for 24 hours a day, it still got along pretty well.
So it was, would you say it was like an extended family reunion where you were bunking with cousins and siblings?
And siblings, and some you got along with and some you didn't.
And what kind of rapport or relationship would you say that the officers had with the ratings?
I think they were quite well. They got along with the enlisted men quite well, I think. We had a lot of fairly good exchanges.
Did you go to port very often?
Yes, we would go to port. Usually within 2 to 3 weeks, we'd be back into a port.
Okay. Did you take that opportunity to go off ship and see the sights and find entertainment?
Find entertainment's probably about right. We would do various things, but as far as taking tours in the country and stuff, we didn't do that. We hung around close to the ship. We were always on Cinderella Liberty, which meant you had to be back at midnight, so you didn't venture far.
So what did you usually do for recreation?
Made the bars, checked the girls out.
And did you have, were there any experiences in your time either on the Evans or in the Navy up to joining the Evans that you would say were humorous experiences?
Humorous experiences, probably several of them. I'm trying to think of one now that we did. I can remember when we were in Hawaii, they were, four of us went together, rented a rental car, and we were going to see some stuff outside of Honolulu, and we drove, and about the time we got to where we thought we were getting out of Honolulu, we were right back where we started from. We discovered that the island is all Honolulu.
So did you ever make use of any R&R facilities?
The only one I ever went to, they had a Grande Island in the Philippines that was a R&R facility, and we went over for one afternoon and stayed.
So what was it like? Was it just a Quonset hut, or was it more elaborate than that?
It was a big EM club type thing over where they had the bar, and they had slot machines, I remember, there.
Oh, so there was gambling
there. Oh, yes.
So aside from the slot machines, were there other opportunities to gamble? Did you have poker games or anything like that?
Not on the Evans, we didn't. Oh. The Evans, they was a standing order. If you were caught gambling, you would be busted one rate. But I'm sure there was some that went on. I just didn't know of any.
But at least when you went ashore, did anyone actually take the opportunity to enter into any gambling, or were they just more interested in finding a sailor's gin joint?
Gin joints, I would say, probably more likely.
So did you write to your friends or your family while you were on ship?
I would write to my family occasionally.
Okay. About how often? Once a week or more?
Maybe once every 2 weeks or so.
Okay. Did they ever return letters to you? Did they ever write back?
Yes. My mother would write back. She would write more often than I would write, certainly.
So what kind of things did you discuss in your letters?
Mine that I'd sent home, I would describe daily life on ship and where we were at and where we were going next. And she would explain to me about things happening around town when she sent me a letter about my... I have two sisters, younger sisters, and she would talk about them.
So you got to receive all the local news, or at least the news about the family.
The family news, yes.
Did you get to hear any other kind of news? For example, some neighbor maybe had a better cotton crop this year or anything like that?
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember any exactly. I'm sure she put the local gossip in.
So during your time in, did you receive any kind of awards, citations, commendations?
Such as medals and that type of stuff. See, I have 5 awards. I have the National Defense Service Ribbon, Vietnam Service Ribbon, and I have one from the country of South Vietnam. And then we have a Meritorious Unit Citation and another unit citation.
Okay. So, how did you feel about your relatively short time on Frank Evans?
Frankie Evans, it was pretty good. It was, like you say, it was so short that I never really got, I didn't know any different. I went there and we did our job, and after the accident we were coming back home, and we were all glad to be coming back home, but wished that we could change it and have the guys back again.
And since you were on Evans for such a short time, did you build an immediate rapport with the guys, or would you say that you were still treated fairly as a new guy?
I was still the new guy, definitely. The new guy gets everything pulled on him and has to do the dirty jobs and stuff.
Oh, you said the new guy gets everything pulled on him. What did they do, short sheet your bunk? Or?
Oh, I remember one time they had a bucket made up with a wooden lid on it, and they sent me from the aft engine room to the forward engine room and said they needed a condensate sample. So both engine rooms are connected with sound powered phones, so as soon as I left they called and said I was coming for a condensate sample. So I get there and I tell them I need a condensate sample. So they take over and they take the wooden lid off the bucket and they open the exhaust steam valve, squirt it full of steam and set it back on there. Say, okay, take it back. So I took it back to the aft engine room, and of course when they opened it up there was nothing in there. It just all turned, there's a little moisture on the side, and they said, well, we sent you after a condensate sample and you didn't bring any back. I said, well, I saw him put it in there. That type of thing.
So, did you have any souvenirs from your time aboard the Evans?
I had a few photos that I'd taken on there, but that's about all I had.
Do you still have those, or were they lost in the collision?
I've still got a few of them.
Okay. So, speaking of the collision, where were you aboard Frankie Evans at the time that the Melbourne struck?
I was in my rack in the aft part of the ship. I was asleep.
Okay. So did you... So you did not serve in an area that would allow you to have seen the fleet exercise or anything that night?
I had been up on deck about midnight that night after I'd gotten off a watch and looked out, and it was a nice calm night and could see the Melbourne in front of us at that time, and things looked very peaceful then.
So how could you see the Melbourne? Was it lit?
Just from the glow of the moon type deal.
So you could see its silhouette.
You could see the silhouette really easily.
Okay. Other than the silhouette, was there any evidence that the Melbourne was there? I mean, did you see any kind of lights or any kind of illumination whatsoever?
There was some illumination on the Melbourne at the time that you could see.
Okay. Was it your standard running lights, or was it something different?
I would say it's probably standard running lights. I don't remember anything being lit up unusually bright or anything.
Okay. So, since you were sleeping at the time that the Melbourne struck, what was your first reaction or your first thought?
My first thought was, what? I didn't know what had happened. I knew we had hit something or run aground or something, and I got up and found my pants to put on. I looked around and I could see all the fuel oil and stuff running down the bulkheads. And my first thought was, I know who'll have to clean this mess up.
The new guy.
The new guy.
when you were up on deck earlier that night and you did see the Melbourne, about how far away would you estimate that it was?
Oh, I would say a good at least 3/4 to a mile away. It was quite a ways in front of us.
Were you able to judge in any way which direction it was headed?
No. I can't think of any.
Okay.
I could just tell we were behind at the time.
Okay. Okay. So when the collision occurred, were you thrown out of your bunk? Was it that violent, or was it a shaking that just...
No, it was quite violent when the ship rolled, but I didn't fall out of my bunk. I was able to grab hold in time. I would have fallen out if I hadn't.
And so what was your first reaction? That is, what did you do? Did you immediately start running for the nearest door, or did you sit there for a couple of seconds and think about what to do?
I probably sit there for a couple of seconds, and like I say, I found my pants to put on, and the battle lanterns were on then, where you could see a glow and shine, and somebody was saying, well, we had to report to our general quarter stations, and mine was in the aft engine room, and so I went there and just started down the ladder, and they had already secured the plant, and they were coming back up and said we should go to the fantail. And then I went back to my compartment and finished getting dressed, and got my camera that I just bought out of the locker and piddled around a while, and then went to the fantail.
Okay. So you said that they had secured the plant. What exactly did that involve?
Closing the steam valves, and shutting the valves off to the outside.
So securing the plant essentially meant shutting down?
Shutting down. And
okay. Okay. And how long would that have taken?
It couldn't have took over 5 minutes.
Okay,
it
so fairly quickly.
Moved quite quickly.
Okay. And what did you do after the collision? After you had made your way to the fantail, did a bunch of you wait, or did you immediately join in to help with the rescue operation? Or did you wait someone to give orders to you as to what to do?
More, we stood back and more or less waited, and because they still didn't know at the time what was going on. The Melbourne was pulling alongside this time and putting lines on us to hold us steady. And we stood back there and watched that for a while.
Okay. And so what was your opinion of the rescue effort itself?
I think they did an outstanding job taking care of it.
Especially under the circumstances.
Under the circumstances, yeah.
Okay. So was there a lot of cooperation in the rescue effort between the Australians and the Americans, or was it mostly the Australians to...
It was mostly the Australians that were getting things taken care of and everything, and they came down and said we were to move up. We went up to the highest part of our ship, and they had stretched down some cargo nets to use as ladders to climb on up to the door up on the carrier a ways. And whenever I was climbing up, that's whenever I discovered that the front half of the ship wasn't there. Then I knew what something had happened. But until then, I had no idea what the problem was.
And until someone had told you that Evans had been struck.
Struck,
by,
yeah.
By Melbourne.
Yeah.
Okay. So at that point, you weren't at an vantage point where you could even see the bow of
no.
Melbourne.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So in the years after the collision, what have you learned about the events leading to it, and how did you get that information?
I've by talking to friends and stuff that have told me what they were doing at the times, and then I've read the two books that Joe Stevens has written on the accident, and visited with the Australians, and they've told me what they were doing at the time of the accident, and got information that way.
Okay. And so do you have any further comments or information about the collision or the events before or after that?
I can't think of any right now, other than I'm glad the Australians did all they did to take care of us.
So shortly after the collision, how long was it before you and your crewmates were removed from the fantail?
I would say it was probably 20 to 30 minutes, something like that, before they got everything secured.
That's very fast.
It is quite fast.
So how was that done? Did they lower rope ladders, or did they send small boats?
They had, by the time we got up there, they had the helicopters up, and they were searching the waters for survivors, and they had put down boats and were going around searching the ocean. And then when we got up there, we just used the cargo nets as ladders to climb up into the ship.
Okay, and then you found accommodations on Melbourne.
Yes.
Where did they have you?
They split us up into small groups where they could put us, and they took our group to a kind of like a chief's quarters in our Navy, and we stayed there.
Oh, so a bunch of you bunked in the chief's quarters?
Well, we didn't bunk. We went and sat and visited for a while, and then they had prepared breakfast for us. And so we went down and had breakfast at the mess deck.
So how long did it take for you to reach the Philippines?
Well, we stayed on the Melbourne that day, and during that afternoon, the Kearsarge came in, and we took boats and got on the Kearsarge.
Okay.
And then we escorted the Melbourne to Singapore, where they pulled into harbor, and then we went back to the Philippines.
Okay.
And I think we were at sea 3-4 days, something like that, before we got back to the Philippines.
When you returned to the Philippines, were you able to see the aft section of Frank Evans?
Yes, after we'd been there, I think the second day, we got to go out and get what stuff we had left on the ship off, and that's when we saw it.
And what was your first impression when you saw it? And was it daylight?
Yes, it was daylight when we went out.
So what was your first impression when you could see it in broad daylight?
It was a lot worse than even I thought it was at the time.
So had the salvage operation even started?
No,
they had just
brought it in and put it in dry dock.
Okay. And sometime afterward, the aft section was shelled for a gunnery target.
Right. They went in and they pulled out the aft engines, I was told, and then they towed it to sea and shelled it for gunnery practice.
Were any of the men from Evans even invited to see the dispatching of the remaining portion?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Okay. So you only heard about it.
This was... It would have been 2 or 3 years later before I even heard what happened to it.
Oh, so you didn't know that it had been shelled?
No.
Okay. And would that have... Was it... that's pretty much the same situation for the other survivors, that most of you did not know what had happened until long after?
I don't think most of us knew, for sure.
Okay. So what was your first reaction when you found out that was the end of the Evans that had been towed and used as a gunnery target?
Kind of a sad way to do away with a memorial, I thought.
Well, I thank you very much for your time for this interview, and if you have any further comments or anything to add, you can either do it now or you can let us know at a future date.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.